When I find the joy of reaching your heart, and my world becomes enthroned in your love, then all things that surround become shadows in the light of you. I worship you. I worship you. I worship you. The reason I live is to worship you. And I worship you. And I worship you. The reason I live is to worship you. I worship you. I worship you. The reason I live is for you. It's for you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. God, thank you. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Thank you. Would you just take a moment and say thank you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. From your own heart, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Ingratitude grieves the heart of the Holy Spirit. But gratitude pleases the Lord. It'll keep the door open to His favor in your life. And in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ that concerns you. Amen. You know, some people are just content to eat the samples, you know. We were talking about it this morning about how, you know, they can come, and people like to come because they feel the presence of the Lord and they feel good when they're, you know, gathering with God's people and there's praise and worship going on and just being in the atmosphere of heaven. And but, you know, you can walk out of here and that can all be left behind unless you really open your heart. Amen. And you become that habitation. Amen. God wants to fill us up. And God wants to take us to a place where we get over ourselves, where self-consciousness is no longer an issue. That's our hindrance right there, is self. If we're going to serve the Lord, we've got to get over ourselves. We've got to get over the opinions of men. And the opinions of men influence us, you see, if we allow it, if we're full of self. And so that's too important to us. And therefore, we will compromise the will of God to please people. Yet if we want to be the servants of the Lord, we cannot be people pleasers. We seek to please the Lord. And in pleasing the Lord, often you're pleasing people too, but never to the compromise of the truth. Amen? I like that. That's pretty good. Thank you, Lord, for that. I think I'll get the CD. No. Well, we just pray, Lord, use us. We're just clay vessels, amen? And we're really nothing without Him. But God is looking for vessels. How many here are a vessel for the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. He wants to flow through your life, see? He doesn't want us to be the container, amen? He wants us to be the conduit.
Amen.
All right? And that means there are things that God is stirring up in your heart, even as we worship. And there's a prompting of the Spirit. And we want to fan into the flame that gift that's within us until it becomes so unbearable that you just got to speak what God gave you to speak. Amen?
Amen.
Out of your heart will flow. So we got to break, amen, the dam, if you will. And the dam is self that hinders, it gets in the way. If we can get over that part of us, that's concerned about what people think and somebody's looking at me. How many know that woman with the issue of blood that crawled her way through the crowd didn't care any longer what people thought about her? She was desperate to touch the hem of Jesus' garment, knowing that she would be healed. Amen. And that's what God expects of us, to get over that part of us that would hinder the move and the flow of His life through us. Hallelujah. And we can only do that by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we worship in the Spirit, we got to worship deep enough to get over self, past self, and into the realm of the Spirit. And that's where miracles occur. And God wants us moving in miracles, by the way. God wants His people moving in signs and wonders and miracles and healing and deliverance. Amen. Hallelujah. Too much of the church is just content to dip their toe in and get a few goosebumps on Sunday morning. Amen. How many know it's a lot more than that? Amen. And we're called to follow Jesus. Amen. And His example. And in order to do that, we have to deny ourselves, get over ourselves. You know, so often the pastors get all the attention and all the, you know, appreciation. And yet pastors can't do what they do without everybody else. Amen. We are a family. We're a team. We work together. Amen. And so every one of you are important. You're appreciated. You're part of this. Amen. And we want you to know that even you being here today makes a difference. You know. But our heart's desire, you know, is that each one of us would grow up, amen, to realize who we are, amen, in the Lord and who He is in us, and that we would go and bear fruit, you know. And God saves us, but He saves us with a purpose, amen. It's not just so we can be blessed, but so we can be a blessing, amen, in this world. And so in order to do that, again, we have to get over ourselves. And Paul said, I die daily. You know, every day he had to practice dying to himself every day. And Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and what? Take up his cross and follow me. Yeah. He also said, where I am, there my servant will be also. In other words, we walk together with him. We do life together with him every day. Amen. We're yoked up with him. But he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's not a drudgery. It's not something I got to do. It's something I get to do. Serving God is something we get to do. Amen? Hallelujah. All righty. We live in an instant society, don't we? We're used to just going through the drive-thru and having everything the way we want it. It's not always a Burger King thing, amen? It's not always have it your way, right? We'll have it God's way, and His way is perfect. And we'll understand all and by, won't we, when we get the full revelation of everything. But while we're here, I do believe that God wants to reveal Himself to the world, not just through a message that is spoken, but through that which is seen as well. And so our gospel is a gospel that is seen and heard. And that is the message for today, is the gospel that is seen and heard. That's the title of the message. And I want to get into that. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You in Jesus' name that You have called us and You have assigned us for such a time as this. Lord, that we are called by Your name and that we represent You here in this world. And Lord, we want nothing but Your will to be done. Not our plans, not our ideas, what we think it should look like. But God, what You want to do. And what You want to do today in this place. So, Lord, we pray for that revelation. We pray for the ability to see clearly, that we can discern the will of God in every situation, Lord, in every season. And in Jesus' name, I praise You, Lord God. I thank You, God, for the mercy and the grace that You've shown us and for the life that we have in You, Lord. Lord, we thank You that You are willing to become our sacrifice, that You're willing to die on the cross for our sins. Lord, that You were beaten, that You were broken, that we might be healed. That You shed Your blood, Your precious blood, Your sinless blood, to redeem us, to purchase us, Lord, from the adversary that held us captive through sin. And You broke the power of sin. You canceled every assignment of the enemy against us. Hallelujah, that You paid for us in full. in your blood at the cross. And so, Lord, we thank you for the grace and the mercy that you have shown us even in this day, that today is a day of salvation. And we can call upon you. We can approach your throne of grace with confidence because of the blood of the new covenant. Because your blood covers us, Lord. And because we belong to you, we are your bride. And you are our bridegroom. Lord, we thank you that you have gone back to heaven itself to prepare a dwelling place there for us, your people. And Lord, we know the day is coming, and you anticipate the day as well when you shall return for your people, return for your bride, return for the ones that are looking for you a second time without sin unto salvation, to receive us to yourself, that where you are, we may be also. Thank you, Lord, that you were willing to do all this for us. Because we were without hope and without help, and there was no way we could save ourselves. So you took our place. When the law could not save us, in mercy, God gave us his Son as an offering to pay our debt. Lord, thank you for the forgiveness of sins today. And I want to ask everyone just to bow your head for a moment and ask the Lord if there's anyone you need to forgive, if there's anything you need to settle, if there's any sin you need to confess and renounce before him today. Know that the Lord is wanting to forgive you. He's willing to forgive you and to cleanse you today. All you need to do is be honest with God and confess it to him in Jesus' name. And he will forgive you. He will cleanse you. And he will receive you back into fellowship. You see, even as a believer, sin can hinder our fellowship with him. So God wants you to be restored into fellowship with him again. So be honest today, as the Lord has dealt with you already. He's spoken to you. As I was speaking, he's speaking to you. If there's somebody you need to forgive, forgiveness means to cancel the debt. It means I'm no longer going to hold this against you. It doesn't mean that they deserve it, just like we didn't deserve what Jesus did. But God is merciful, and God expects us to do likewise, to be merciful and gracious towards those who don't deserve it, even as he did the same for us. So would you take the moment right now to make sure you settle all these things right now? And I pray, Lord, that you'll restore every one of us. Restore every soul that's here. Meet us here, Holy Spirit. Have your way. Overshadow our hearts and our minds right now. Envelop us. And deliver us from the evil one. Break every chain, every yoke of the oppressor. And I want you just to thank the Lord for your forgiveness today. Amen. Just thank him. Lord, thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for this life that I now have in you. Thank you that old things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new. Hallelujah. So God, we praise your holy name. We thank you today. Hallelujah. The Bible says that if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. So let's examine ourselves, amen, before him. And the best way to do that is let the Holy Spirit do the examination. And if there's something that's unsettled, settle it now. Amen. So that there's nothing hindering you from being the vessel that God wants you and I to be today. In Jesus' name. God's been stirring my heart lately about just observations and how easily, and I include myself in this, how easily we can be drawn away from what God expects, from God's best for us. And sometimes we can settle in a place of mediocrity, you know. But God has so much more for us than I believe we realize. And sometimes, if we're not careful, we can get in a place in our lives where we say, you know what, I'm just content to be where I am. I don't need to go backwards, but I don't need to go forward. I'm just kind of content to stay where I am right now, as if there's nothing more for us. The enemy is a liar. He's a thief. He wants to rob you of your inheritance. He wants to rob you of your destiny. He wants to rob you of God's best for you by convincing you and I that where we're at is sufficient and that we don't need to seek the Lord or to move forward in our relationship with Him. And so, one of the huge problems, especially in the church in America, and is this, really, it's a doctrine of demons that would suggest that God no longer moves in power today in signs and wonders and miracles and healings, that went away with the writing of the New Testament canon. But we are warned against that very doctrine in Scripture, because Paul told Timothy that in the last days there would be those who would have a form of godliness, but what? Deny the power thereof. That's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. So any teaching that denies the power of God as a present requirement in the presentation of the gospel is a doctrine of demons. Yes, I'm that bold about it. The devil wants a impotent, anemic, powerless church. He doesn't want God's people moving in their authority and in the power of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't want God's people hungering for the power of God in their lives. Come on. He wants you to sit back in complacency and apathy and just be quiet. And you know what? The devil does not respect earthly agreements and negotiations. Amen? How many know there's just certain nations that we're trying to negotiate with that you can't? Because they're sold out to evil. Amen? And that's how the devil is. You cannot negotiate with your adversary. He has to be defeated. And see, the devil understands authority, doesn't he? He understands power, amen? But he does not understand negotiating. He's not willing, are you hearing me, to reach an agreement of peace. He may give you the impression that he will leave you alone if you leave him alone, but he's not going to leave you alone. He just wants to take from you. So we're in a war, we're in a battle, amen? And we have to fight the good fight. But understand that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That the greater one is within us, amen, than he that's in the world. And that God authorizes us as his children, amen, to go and represent him in the earth, amen. And God sends his Spirit to empower us, amen, to do what naturally would be impossible for us to do. So God takes a clay vessel, a common clay vessel, and fills that vessel with his power, amen, and supersizes it. So that out of our life flows the life of God, and that's what people need, is the life of God. We're not here to present ourselves to the world, but Christ to the world. Amen. That's what people need. Mark 16:17, how many know this one? And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. These are the signs that should follow those who what? Believe in Jesus. Now we know that there's some crazy people out there that don't quite understand what he's saying here and think that it's a good idea to handle snakes. And that you're just not spiritual unless you're handling rattlesnakes. That's not what he's talking about here. How many know the safest place for you and I to be is in the will of God? Amen. Wherever we may find ourselves, amen? If you're in the will of God, God's going to keep you safe in the will of God until such time as he wants to recall us, amen? And that's up to him. People may try to poison you. Amen? You may run into a viper. As Paul, remember on the Isle of Malta, in Acts 28:3, when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. But he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. However, they were expecting that he would swell up and suddenly fall down dead. But after they had looked for a long time and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. Now, of course, they wouldn't allow them, amen, to call them a god. He knew better, amen? But you see how God supernaturally protected him. And he ended up on that island not by choice. Come on. Sometimes you'll find yourself in the will of God not by your own choice. God will put you where he wants you to be. And he may call you to go someplace you wouldn't choose for yourself. But the safest place is in the will of God. Because Jesus said, where I am, there my servant will be also. I want to be with Jesus. I mean, if Jesus is out on the water, let's get out on the water with him. If he ain't out on the water, climb it up on the water, all right? But if he's on the water, get up on the water with him. I think sometimes we're presumptuous and say, well, I'm going to go walk on water today. I got people that, you know, I've heard people trying to walk on water. I just don't have enough faith yet, but I'm working on it, you know. Well, if God calls you on the water, you'll walk on water, all right? How many have heard Reinhard Bonnke? Powerful German evangelist, you know, really had a heart for Africa and millions of people, souls were saved. But Reinhard said, if you preach Jesus as Savior, he will save. If you preach Jesus as healer, he will heal. Amen? Because God confirms his word with accompanying signs. All right? He said this also. He said, in truth, I have done nothing alone. God has called me and been my pilot. The Holy Spirit has been my comforter, my guide, and my power source. Right? So we can do all things through Christ. Now, let me say this. Miracles attract people. If there's a miracle going on, hey, I want to see it. Where's the miracle at, right? People are attracted to miracles. And a miracle is often, not always, often a sign that God is present. All right? We need to discern what spirit's at work. Amen? Because the enemy is also a counterfeiter. But I discovered that if I seek the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, I'm not going to get a counterfeit. So the gospel is meant to be both seen and heard. Not just heard, but also seen, also witnessed. So the gospel should be presented in both in word and in power. In word and in power. So prophesying, casting out demons, signs and wonders are not necessarily a sign that a person has a true connection with Jesus. Many will say to me in the day, Lord, Lord, didn't we? So we need to test the spirits, 1 John 4:1. Both their words and their actions. Amen? True believers are led by the Holy Spirit. Amen? And how many know the Holy Spirit always points to Jesus? Doesn't point to the vessel. Doesn't make it about us. Amen. The devil will do that to get you proud. Amen. But the Holy Spirit always points to Jesus. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Now, again, Jesus said in Matthew 7:22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Now, the day Jesus is referring to here is the coming day of judgment that is coming for all people. Jesus claimed that he is the one that people will stand before on the final day of judgment because he's Lord. Now, Paul said, concerning those who are at Corinth, who are exalting themselves in the church, in his absence, of course. When the cat was the white way, the mouse were playing, right? They were playing church. And they were undermining him. There were people that were undermining Paul while he was away to exalt themselves because they wanted positions of prestige and recognition of men. Come on. See, that's a part of us that has to die. Or it doesn't matter what men think about us. Are we exalting Jesus? Are we pointing people to Jesus? Is he the center of our attention? Is he the main attraction? Not the charismatic one behind the pulpit. Amen. But how about the God of the vessel? We present, we give you Jesus here. And the gospel we preach is more than words. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4:19, but I will come to you shortly if the Lord wills and will know, listen, not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. So some people are eloquent speakers. They're really good at words, knowing how to use words. Amen. How to control, even manipulate people using words. Do you understand? Some people are really good. You can get people to do all kinds of things if you're good at it, using words. But if it's not the Holy Spirit working, come on, there's no true conversion.
Right.
You can manipulate people using emotional tactics to even respond to an altar call. But if the Holy Spirit's not working in that, it's in vain. Are you hearing me? And that's why some people they have a false conversion because somebody told them they were saved and they weren't born again yet. We can emotionally stir people, right? And some people, again, may be good at speaking and knowing how to say things. Some salespeople are very good at that, aren't they? They can convince you to buy something that you shouldn't buy. Because they've learned how to control people and control their emotions using words. And the same thing happens in the church. In some cases where people are actually good at speaking, but they're not speaking by the Spirit of the Lord. Often they're speaking out of selfish ambition because they want to exalt themselves or they want to build their own kingdom rather than the kingdom of God. So he said, when I come, it's not to know the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in dunamis, power. Same word, Acts 1:8, you shall receive power, dunamis, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Our gospel is a gospel of power. Amen? It's not in word only. It's both word and sight. Amen. On the day of Pentecost, there was both sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and then there was a visible manifestation of the flames. Amen. The tongues of fire that sat upon the heads of those who were present. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they also audibly what spoke in new tongues. So Paul was saying that when he arrived at Corinth, he would examine those ministers by the presence of God's power, not just by their words. Do you understand? There's a requirement for God's people, amen, to rely on and to move in the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, we can teach people how to be a soul winner, but if they don't learn how to operate by the Holy Spirit, come on, they can get people to make a decision, but they'll never be converted. Because only God can convert the heart. And sometimes there's people that can hardly speak, but they're effective soul winners. Why? Because they rely upon the power of the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist, he's in prison awaiting his execution. Matthew 11:2. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see." Verse 5, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Jesus said that people could know that he was the promised one. By what? The things that they heard and saw. Jesus healed the sick, cast out demons, even raised the dead. So let me ask you this question. Has anybody here raised anybody from the dead recently? Okay. How many would agree with me that there's room for us to grow and to stretch in this thing? How many would agree with me that God wants to do more than we believe him for? It's a faith factor, isn't it? We can limit God by our unbelief. And sometimes we can get so used to not getting healed or not receiving from God that we get stuck in a place where we're not even inquiring anymore. We're just all about the doctors now, and I'm not opposed to doctors. But the Bible is very clear. Seek first the kingdom of God, amen, above everything else. And it may be that God will direct you, amen, to do something naturally to correct the future, amen, such as a diet change. Hello, moving right along. But Jesus linked the preaching of the gospel with a visible demonstration of God's power. And I believe the gospel should be accompanied by confirming signs. Matthew 13:16, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For surely I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." Do you understand? God wants to move in power. God wants to move in signs and wonders, and he's looking for someone who will partner with him here on earth and believe for that. That's willing to stretch out of the place of comfort and predictability into the realm of the unknown, if you will, out on the water, if so. If Jesus is there, amen, that's where life is. Amen. He sent his word and healed. Amen. Their disease, the confirmation came. We first heard the word, amen. We responded and our hearts were converted. There's a longing in people's hearts to not only hear the word of God, but to also witness its power. Too many Christians have settled for a powerless gospel that falls short of God's expectation for his church. And it's a gospel that requires no faith. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
But the message that we preach is more effective when there's a demonstration of God's power accompanying it. And the message is often validated by accompanying signs. Even a changed heart. Amen. God wants you and I to be a sign and a wonder. And the watching world says, "What happened to you?" Jesus happened. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Praise God. This ain't the same guy we used to know. It had to be a Jesus thing. Amen. Mark 16:19. "So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up in heaven and sat down at the right hand of God." And what did they do in verse 20? They sat around saying kumbaya. No, they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. What was he doing? He was working with them because they were in obedience to where he had called them to be. God will be where he calls you to be. If he says, "Go here and do this," he will be there. He'll meet you there. But we have to be willing to obey the voice of God. If you obey the word of the Lord, he will confirm his word with accompanying signs. Amen. God doesn't just send his word out for nothing. He sends his word out because he wants to do something in somebody's heart and life. Confirming the word. The true gospel is never boring. It is the power of God unto salvation. Now listen, we cannot make miracles happen. But we can make ourselves available to God as a vessel that he can use. And that's what God is looking for. See, it's not based upon ourselves. Amen? God wants to work wonders and miracles through our lives. Are you hearing me today?
Yes.
But he's looking for availability and someone that's willing to submit to his will and step out for him when he prompts us to do so. And God's looking for somebody who will obey his voice because God wants to confirm his word. He sends his word. He wants to heal people. Do you know God wants to use you and I to bring healing to people? He wants to use you and I, yes, you, to cast demons out, to raise the dead, amen? To proclaim his kingdom, hallelujah, and not our own. Whenever we witness a healing or a miracle, it tends to increase our faith for more. And so we should grow in that, stretch into that. Can you see some room for improvement, for growth in your life? Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
And it's not going to happen if we just want to sit back in complacency. It means we have to seek the Lord. We have to press into his presence because it's the power of the Holy Spirit working through us that makes the difference. Amen. And if we're just going to sit in the outer court and dip our toe in, well, there's not going to be much impact, amen, through our lives. But if you're willing to go all the way in deep into God's heart, amen, to seek his face, come on, and sit in his presence until you be endued with power from on high, then God's going to work mightily through your life. Why? Because he's trying to get us over ourselves. And we get over ourselves in his presence. Come on. Ooh. Jesus said that his testimony was of the things he had both seen and heard. John 3:31, he who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he what? Testifies. Too many churches today are just content to preach the gospel, but without the accompanying demonstration of the Spirit's power. I pray God, never us, not here. I want to be hungry. I want to be open. I want to be available. Say, well, Lord, whatever you want to do. It doesn't matter what it appears like to people, how crazy it may seem. If God tells you to do something, he's going to back it up. I found that the Lord will never embarrass you. You step out for him. If he's called you, amen, and you're responding, he's prompting, you'll never be embarrassed. But that's that other part of us that's concerned about how we might look or how we might appear or what people might think about us. You understand? That just means we're too full of ourselves. As long as we're full of ourselves, we can't be full of him. Somebody say amen. We got to get over that part of us that would stand in the way of what God wants to do. And that means my will has to submit to God's will. I have to be willing to lay my life down, to submit to what God wants, regardless of what people think or what they may say. We got to get over that part of us, amen, that wants the praises of people. I think too much in the Christendom is about the show, the performance. You know, was it Neil Diamond years ago wrote the song, was it him? The gospel show. The show must go on kind of thing, you know. We're not here to present a show. Amen. What we want is God to show up and show off and God to be seen and God to be heard and God to be experienced. This is a gospel of power. It's a gospel that is not only heard, but is to be seen as well. There needs to be the manifestation and the confirming of the word of God. But God's looking for someone who will say, Lord, I'm willing to get over myself. The other day, Sister Paula, I saw you praying for somebody, and I don't see that very often from you, but I commend you that you were stepping out, and you were laying your hand, I think you were praying for Sue. And that's how it starts. You just start stepping into it and say, Lord, I'm putting myself out here, amen, on the limb. But remember, the limb is where the fruit is. So get out there on the limb with Jesus, amen. Get over you. God's looking for some radical Christians, amen, that get over themselves. And I want to be one of those. Of course, we all want to be just available, don't we? I don't believe there's one person here that doesn't want God to use you. Isn't that right? We all want to be used of the Lord. Can the Lord use us? Can He use you? Will you say yes when He says do this? Amen. We don't want selective listening, do we? No. Well, Lord, I'll do that for you, but I'm not going to do that because I might get embarrassed. If you listen to God, you won't be embarrassed. Now, if we get out on our own and He's not really prompting us to do something, yeah, you might get embarrassed. But we can learn from that too. I don't know about you, but I've left out with my tail between my legs a few times. You know, but we learn from that, don't we? We learn from that. See, the Lord would rather have somebody that's enthusiastic in ignorance than someone who's knowledgeable on ice. Theological, you know. It's more than just theology. Theology is important, amen. Teaching is important, amen. But the teaching needs to be motivated and directed by the Spirit of God, who is a spirit of power, amen. And He will confirm that word in the hearts of people. His words will not fall to the ground. If He sends the word, it will find root. Hallelujah. Because the Holy Spirit never does anything for nothing. I believe it's our responsibility to call upon the Lord, to preach God's word, and believe that when we step out in faith, God will confirm His word. 1 Corinthians 2:4, Paul said, "And my speech and my preaching were not with the persuasive words of human wisdom." I already talked about that. The gift of gab, but in demonstration of the Spirit of power and of power. Why? That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. We need the power of God. Amen? We need the demonstration of the Spirit in our meetings. We've had many, amen, over the years. But I don't want us to get into a place where we're just kind of settled into a happy place where, well, we're good. But God wants to grow us up. God wants to stretch us out of complacency, out of the place we've been, because He wants to bring you forward, move you forward in Him. Amen. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Amen. God wants to move us upward. Press in. And press on in Him. Jesus consistently healed the sick, cast out devils, performed miracles, signs, and wonders. Acts 2:32, "This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, He poured out this which you now see and here." Acts 8:5, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them, and the multitudes in one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was what? Great gloom in the city. Great joy." Amen. "In His presence is fullness of joy." Amen. So seeing the gospel declared with power, with healing, and miracles open the hearts of the people. For what reason? So they would heed the message. You go into other nations that maybe had the gospel. Amen. God always does some miracle if you're open to it. Amen. So that people will marvel and say, what is this? Miracles attract. Even on the street, even people that you may meet in the store. God may prompt you to go and pray for somebody. Amen. And when they witness the power of God, the reality comes home. Amen. This is not just, amen, a bunch of theory. This is real. The real, true gospel of Jesus Christ is not a gospel of word only, but a gospel of power. And we are called to be that representative that will move, amen, with the Holy Spirit, because God wants to demonstrate through signs and wonders and miracles through your life, through you. Oh, that's pastor's job, or that's the evangelist's job. No, that's your job. The pastor's job is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Amen. We've been in this, haven't we, April? Over the years, we've been in places where we've had the training, and we've gone out, and we've done things. And, you know, we just need to come back and say, you know what, let's get back into that again. Amen. To where now we're like taking this wherever we go. In the marketplace. Amen. And being available for God to work. Well, hallelujah. What was it that drew Moses to the burning bush? The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame, Acts 7:30. What? In a bush in the wilderness of Mount Sinai. And when Moses, what? Saw it. He marveled at the sight. And as he drew near, come on, as he drew near to observe, the voice of the Lord came to him. Draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. God wants to speak to you. And if you will speak what he speaks, he will confirm his word. Amen. Hallelujah. How many are going to be like Isaiah and say, here am I, Lord. Send me. Amen. You need to be endued with power from on high. You need to get into the presence of the Lord. Amen. And pray that God would fill you with the Holy Spirit. All right. So that you are fully equipped, immersed in the presence of God. And he will give you a supernatural boldness. Amen. And the love of God being shed and brought in your heart will give you a love. Amen. That overcomes all fear. You're not in fear, but you're in faith. Faith is the opposite of fear. Amen. So we want to be filled with the power of God so our faith will rise to new levels. Amen. Lord Jesus, thank you for today and for the word of God. Lord, we're here and we ask you to use us for your glory, Lord. Make us a vessel of honor for your use. Purify us, Lord God. Wash us in your blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Lord, empower us. And enable us to be the salt, to be the light, to be the influencers you've called us to be in this world for your name's sake, Lord. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Would you tell them today, here am I, Lord. Send me, Lord, and do us with power from on high. Hallelujah. And use us. We pray that out of our lives, Jesus would shine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. It's not of me. It's of you, Lord. And thank you for your faithfulness to confirm your word. Hallelujah. You'll always back up what you say. Hallelujah. And will never be ashamed. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Hallelujah.